The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Comcast, North Shore University Health System, PNC, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
A very pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into the PNC Studios at Hallis Hall and the Bears Coaches Show. Good evening, John. How are you doing?
Doing much better after a W.
Yes, absolutely. With you until 7:30 tonight, everyone. We'll break down the 20-point win over the visiting San Francisco 49ers, and I just keep repeating it. It's your words. I'm just stealing them, but said it in the broadcast. John Fox is right. It's more fun when you win. The whole thing was fun.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I think it was... it was perfect weather, you know, the steady snowfall, and, you know, our fans are great. They've been great all year, and the ones that were there, hopefully they enjoyed it.
Kids liked it, too.
Yeah, oh, no doubt.
I call them kids because I'm old.
Yeah, I'm old. I'm old, too, Jeff.
You're just a little bit older than
just
me.
Just for the record.
But they enjoy doing it. I mean, anybody, I brought it up, too, anybody who loves football, when it started snowing, you want to go out and play.
Yeah, it was good. You know, I think, I thought Matt Barkley had a real good showing, especially right before halftime. I thought, he did a good job orchestrating that drive. And, I thought he was pretty solid all day.
So in a situation like that, because both teams were leery about putting it up in the air, why then, other than the obvious, it's a two-minute drill, you want to get on the board, and then it worked. Does that just calm everybody's nerves then about playing in that kind of conditions?
Well, you have to adjust. I think, you throw the ball different. You don't, it's more of a push style than just grip it and rip it. So I think, it takes a little bit to adjust to whether you're catching it. I don't know, somebody talked about it wasn't a fumble, but our first toss was a fumble. Luckily, we recovered it. But even at that point, you just kind of change how you do things and let the players adjust, give them a little bit of time. And, I thought our guys adapted pretty well.
Given that the ball wasn't going in the air and you're just trying to get going offensively, I even take some issue with the idea that it was a slow start offensively. Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, they did a good job in the run game, but you only had 14 snaps.
Yeah,
until that two-minute drill.
Well, I think, when you get two special teams fumbles, I think, it gives them more opportunities and you less. That was obviously, there was some adversity early on. We fell behind 6-0. And then, our guys adjusted and our coaches did a good job. Our players did a good job. And then we were able to take a 7-6 into the halftime.
What I also loved was stacking three consecutive possessions and scoring drives. So bridging the half, coming out, you get a 2-for-1 with the coin toss, and you guys deferred. So, and then you go again, and that 13 first downs in those three drives. So that really set the table for you.
Yeah, I thought, a couple good things happened. And one, we kind of weathered the adversity and, guys just kept stepping up. And then, when we even had the lead, then we'd start the second half with possession of the ball. And, we score our first two possessions. Now it's 21-6. So that was very, very impressive, the guy's mindset in making that happen.
What do you most respect about the win yesterday?
Just a bunch of young guys sticking together. And, I'm sure our fans don't recognize a lot of the names out there. But, these guys have hung together. It's been a long season. It's been a very difficult season. I know it has been for us in the locker room. And I'm sure it's been, for our fans watching. But, there's a bunch of guys out there that are competing, and, there's some young guys that had some success.
And the other thing is, I heard this as well from, the 49ers defense is poorly ranked. You don't rank wins.
No, you don't apologize for W's.
They're hard.
None of them are easy, and, we were fortunate, and our guys executed and played well for 60 minutes.
Somebody asked me today what was my favorite moment in the game. So I came up with a couple because I love the way Jordan Howard worked behind his offensive line. I think it was his third touchdown when he just kind of torpedoed it and was burrowing in. And nothing was stopping him. He was going in. That was one. Another, seeing 94 on the field, healthy and ready to rock, and he did. And then Cody Whitehair having a great season, avoiding any serious injury. Those are my three. Would you like to pick any of those three as one of your favorite moments?
Yeah, that was big. I think, really kind of watching, Leonard come back from injury. He didn't play last week against Tennessee. And, you know, things didn't start well for him. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, you're going to get that. You're going to get knocked down, and it's how you respond. And I thought, you know, he had as good a second half as he's had this year. And to watch him kind of handle that and make that, I think, you know, watching Matt Barkley, you know, ease his way into those playing conditions. And, you know, you look at even the opponent, and there's guys there with a lot more experience than he had. Going in, watch him do that and be able to operate that drive right before the half was pretty impressive.
Oh, and even your receivers, because they had to fight it a little bit too in those conditions, and given what happened the week before, you really didn't know what you're going to expect from their hands in those situations, but they kept battling and he kept trying them. That's the thing I love about it. He has confidence in a guy like Bellamy.
Yeah, I think, you know, for a young guy, Matt, you know, he's very communicated with all the players. He talks to the O-line, talks to the running backs. He's, you know, very open, and the players appreciate that, even the receivers. I mean, if they get a drop, hey, look, I'm coming back to you, so be ready. And, you know, a guy like Josh Bellamy, I think, had a drop early on, and, you know, they made a couple big catches, and so that was good to see.
What got Akeem Hicks' blood up? My goodness.
He's been pretty steady all year. I don't know that he's been as impactful as he was yesterday, because I think he had like 9 tackles, 2 sacks. He was a man possessed, and it was good to see that, and it was good for us, and we needed it.
He couldn't be blocked. I mean, flat out, he wasn't blocked.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I know he was.
They were trying. There was nobody there.
I mean, he was just pushing his way through, and I think that kind of sparked everybody. He was wound up too, and he plays emotionally, and he has been very steady this year. But that was a dominant performance from a defensive lineman.
That was probably one of our better performances by an individual, you know, on the season. So I think, you know, I think Vic Fangio and the defensive staff did a terrific job, and our guys did a good job of executing it. And, you know, I think it was under 200 yards total offense, 6 yards passing, which I don't know that I've seen in my 27 years of coaching.
Yeah, crazy. Kwiatkowski learning every minute. And the fact is, and you could speak to it better than anybody, if there is a mistake made, I'm seeing and hearing you make it once and you don't make it again. So that's what you call growth and progress.
Yeah, I think, you know, even in the military, you know, in the special forces and whatnot, you know, they're going to make mistakes, but you don't make the same ones again. And so I think with young players, you know, a guy like Nick, I think, you know, early on, I go back to even the Dallas game where he first got time when Danny Trevathan hurt his thumb. And you know, it was a little rough, and it was against a good opponent, you know, especially offensive line-wise, and their blocking element's pretty tough, you know, as good as there is in the league. And, you know, to watch all the playing time since then and watch his growth has been fun, and, you know, it's a tribute to the kind of kid he is.
And he's a good blitzer, and he played safety at one point in his life before, you know, he moved into the inside linebacker position. So he's got some awareness in the passing game. Just sticking that arm out there like that when you're going against the grain, you know, that could have been an important first down, actually.
Yeah,
that was
no
Gabbert's
doubt.
First drive.
Yeah, because, you know, he got out of the pocket and was scrambling. And then, you know, we had one guy was in contain. He kind of rallied. And then, you know, Nick was smart enough to stay back and kind of hang around that guy, be ready to react to both. And then made a nice play on the ball.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Takes the snap. He's going to throw here in the pocket. Pressure coming. Down he goes. Sacked on a play. Third time today, Akeem Hicks comes in and lowers the boom on Kaepernick.
That is defensive lineman Akeem Hicks, the Xfinity player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at PNC Studio. Jeff Joniak and John Fox. It's great to have options for players of the game, but we really love the way Akeem kind of set the tone, really from the first snap of the game. I know he got a penalty, but letting him know he's there. That's for doggone sure, right?
It was a little bit of an aggressive penalty. But, yeah, you know, Akeem played very, very well, and he won our game ball, too, that our team awarded to him. So a very productive day, and we needed it.
Do you give more than one, or you typically give one game ball?
It depends. You know, this go-around, he was you know, a pretty solid guy, so it was easy to make sure he got it.
A move today. We should get people up to date. Former second-round pick from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by way of the Detroit Lions, Jonathan Banks, claimed on waivers today. 6'2", 189, veteran. First couple years in the league, had 7 picks. He was in that same Mississippi State secondary with Darius Slay, who's having a great year for the Lions. So you've been around him, but you haven't been with him, so you're not going to be able to speak totally on him right now. But comes in to help out a position where you're still evaluating a lot of things.
Yeah, I think we're very young back there, and I think he's long, he's athletic, he's got good ball skills, as you mentioned. And, you know, that's something that we don't have a lot of height there right now with DeAndre Hall having been injured for some time, as well as Kyle Fuller. So some of our longer guys are nicked up, so we're going to take a look at them, and we're excited to have them.
And those guys, again, no guarantees, but they're on the mend here, right? They're ready. They're getting readier. It's not even possible to say that, but they're getting ready. They're
more
getting ready.
More ready? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but it would give you a heck of a bunch of options.
Yeah, I think at this point in the season, you know, where our record is, where it is, you know, we're looking to get better, and any kind of options we can get, we're going to take a good look.
Let's go back now to Leonard Floyd, because his second half, as you said, was very good. He got credit for a sack that, you know, a guy steps out of bounds. He happens to be there, gives him a little jolt, but the big one was the safety. And I just love the way he reacted to it, too, in the end zone. I think he plays, he's a country kid who's somewhat quiet, but I think his personality is starting to develop here as the season goes on. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think, personality-wise, I compare him to Julius Peppers, especially young in his career, when I was back in Carolina. But a real fierce competitor, a real good teammate, a very humble guy. But he understands football, understands how to play it. And, you know, obviously we're a lot better with him out there than we are without him.
They were grilling him today about his moves. Most of it's build off speed, of course. That's his go-to. But, you know, even questions about, hey, can you try a bull rush now and then? But he's astute enough to challenge the question, because, hey, I think I've done a few bull rushes here. So, but he says, I have a lot to work on. And that's what I want to hear from a young guy.
No doubt. Like I said, he's got great humility, kind of like Jordan Howard, that things happen for him because they are good, but they're the same guy every day. And I think that's important for, both individual success and team success. And, Leonard's going to be an outstanding player here for many years, and because he's willing to work and he takes pride in his job and pride in what he does. And, the more experience he gets, the better he'll get.
In your opinion, are the performances of these rookies, and every one of them has made a couple plays, or in his case, seven sacks. He's making a lot of plays. Jordan's tearing it up. Does it cause the rest of the class to take notice and say, okay, they're getting opportunities, I have to work harder in some cases, or there's enough trust in young guys that they give us opportunity? Do you think that happens?
Well, no doubt. I think when we've had the rash of injuries we've had, and these young guys get a chance to step in and show what they can do, I think it breeds competition, and we talk about that all the time. You try to create as competitive an environment as you can, and that's what pushes guys to get better every day.
This may be a silly question, but do young guys ever knock on your door to talk about their situation or what they need to do versus, say, veteran players who they know you're the head coach and their job is to do what you ask them to do?
Well, I think, a little bit of both. I think I have an open door policy. Guys feel comfortable, coming to talk to me, whether it's on the field or in the building or even come upstairs to my office. And, we have a leadership meeting every Wednesday, where we have a leadership committee where each position group is represented, that they come up and meet with me as well as our captains. So we have a pretty good liaison between myself and or upstairs, as people might say, management, to the locker room.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Takes turns, giving to Jordan Howard, puts his shoulders down. Bulldozing all the way into the end zone. Touchdown, Bears! Touchdown, Jordan Howard! He was not having anything of it. Into the end zone he goes.
My favorite play yesterday. That's right there.
I kind of liked. Who is that guy?
I don't know.
Who's calling
him? I hope you think he's pretty good. Jeff Joniak, along with John Fox of the Bears Coaches Show. One more segment, but I just like how he just churns and he's burrowing his way in there. He got to give the line a lot of credit, too, as Tommy Thayer made sure he made mention of that. Hey,
Tommy,
he had some
that.
Help. Yep. He had some help. And the interior is doing a heck of a job, those guards and Cody. But that run right there, God bless you. That
you.
Run right there. That's Jordan Howard.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
That's how he
I
is.
Think, he's done it all year. He's got a great center of gravity. He's really well built in his lower body. His legs are like daggone bowling balls themselves. So, you know, I think he's done a terrific job. And, you know, I don't know there's been a whole lot where you get three rushing touchdowns in one game.
All right. One shy Gale Sayers against the 49ers back in that famous game, four rushing touchdowns, if you would have got one more. I think he had 67 yards after contact, which is also up his alley, and you love that because that's how you wear people down. So, Jordan, keep it chugging. I mean, I was with him last week for an hour in front of a bunch of people at an event on CBS here on BBM, and not on the air, but at an event, and it was his first time in public with that kind of audience, and handled it beautifully. He's the most humble guy.
Yep.
You know, he's not interested in getting pats on the back.
No, he's, like I said, he's mature beyond his years that way. He's the same guy, and that's something we talk about a lot, you know, whether it's good or whether it's bad, you know, being the same. And he's well-respected by his teammates, and, you know, the way he plays obviously earns him that respect. But, you know, a humble guy, and has handled this very well.
Tell me what the level of importance is, because there's a sign in the hallway, availability is as important as dependability or something of that vein. But Cody Whitehair hurts his ankle. Looking at it on the replay, biggest fear was, oh, my gosh, broken bone or something. Wraps it up and goes back out there. You didn't even have to send him back out there because you could have moved somebody over. But how important was it that he wanted to go back out there and know the difference between pain and injury?
Oh, it's huge, you know, because – you know, really, sometimes, I mean, these guys are all, at this stage of the season, a lot of guys are playing with some pain. And you find out a lot about guys. Guys find out a lot about themselves. Guys find out a lot about their teammates. You know, it's pretty easy, you know, when you're 9-2, all right? But when you're 2-9, you know, going into that game, it can be different in the way guys deal with injuries. So, you know, Cody Whitehair is, again, another guy that's mature beyond his years. You know, coming in, he played left guard all summer long, and then, you know, we have some injuries, and we moved him to center, and, you know, we signed Josh Sitton. He moved, he's adapted, and he's done a tremendous job.
Have Eric Cush and Ted Larson caught your attention?
Yeah, because they're dependable guys. You know, they, you know, I go all the way back a month ago against Minnesota, you know, on Monday night. You know, they both had to start. And that was the number one defense in the league at that time. You know, and we were able to, you know, possess the ball, both run and pass, and they both played very well.
All right, on to Detroit, the rematch at Ford Field. You're running into a red-hot team.
Yeah, I think, you know, Matthew Stafford, anytime, you know, you throw him on the field, I think he's got more comebacks this year than maybe anybody in the league. And, you know, he's got some weapons, whether it's tight end, running back. You know, now Golden Tate's really come on. They were down on him last time we played. So, you know, a lot of things changed, but it's still a division opponent, and we're at their place.
And Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator, getting by without Ezekiel Ansah, has not had a sack, I don't believe, this year just yet, but he's been injury-riddled and coming back. DeAndre Levy not quite there, but this Kerry Hyder, I saw highlights on him today. He had a heck of a year, this guy.
Yeah, he's had a bunch of sacks and, you know, virtual unknown. That's the beauty of this league is everybody starts off as a nobody. And so, you know, it's a performance-based business. And, you know, kudos to this kid for, you know, stepping in and doing a great job when he got his opportunity.
And you're going to see now Matt Barkley in a starting role. Granted, he played at Lambeau to help out there after an injury to Jay. But he's going to be on the road for the first time. Another big step in your evaluation of him.
No doubt. You know, again, a noisy environment, indoors, the sound gets magnified. So, you know, we'll practice in as noisy of a situation as you can be in. It can't be any louder there than it is, and it will be at our practices. So, you know, like everything else, he's responded well, and he'll respond well to that.
Back to Matt. The word poised was used by you, I think, yesterday. Another word, I keep calm. He's got all those, and I don't know. I don't know that you'd expect that, I guess.
Well, he's tough too. Yeah. I mean, he's stood in there and thrown some of those balls. You know, he gets whacked pretty good. So he's fearless and poised, calm. You know, operating under pressure are all big things and great tangibles for a quarterback.
And which leads me into Dave Ragone. He'll be joining us here after the top of the hour. So thank you very much. Appreciate your 30 minutes. We'll hear more from Coach Fox. We'll replay some of the first part of the show if you just missed it. So good luck with Detroit this week.
All right, appreciate it.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring quarterbacks coach Dave Ragone. Brought to you by Verizon, North Shore University Health System, United Airlines, and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Snap is back to Barkley. Blitz is coming. Picked up by Lankford. Tossing it down the left side. Up in the air. Bellamy the catch. Bellamy has it inside the 15-yard line.
And welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show, live from PNC Studio here at Hallis Hall. Matt Barkley, a big day yesterday. Josh Bellamy up over 90 yards in receiving, and the Bears get the 20-point win. Now with quarterback coach Dave Ragone. Good evening. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Thanks for being here. I'm doing well, especially after a win. You've been busy. You've been busy this year, my friend. First year as quarterback coach here, and craziness, huh?
Yeah, it's been a Rolodex of guys coming through there, but to that point, they've all been great. I mean, each a different skill set and different personality, but just been fortunate enough to coach some really good guys this past year.
And where's the built-in challenge, though, for an assistant coach?
To that point, I mean, they're all different skill sets, and they all learn differently. And, you know, there's parts of what Dow Loggins puts in the game plan that highlights each guy's different strengths. And it's getting used to those guys a little bit, too. I mean, we've had obviously unfortunate injuries to the quarterback spot with Jay and Brian being hurt, and then Matt obviously stepping in. And the deal with Matt is he wasn't here for any of the training camp or OTAs. So, and he's done a tremendous job. And with the help of the other quarterbacks who are who've been in the room and just helping him come along, because there's a lot of stuff that he missed early on that he's had to get caught up to speed. And he's assumed that leadership role of trying to learn all that, and he's done a pretty good job at this point.
Totally thrown in. Totally. Cold. That's what he's been doing. That's what's been done here. And hearing him talk, he's talking like a quarterback is supposed to talk from a leadership point of view.
Yeah, and that's definitely one of his major personal strengths, especially with his teammates. He's done a great job of coming in, like I said, middle of years essentially, and getting to know the guys around him. Communicating with them. And not only that, the guys around him, you know, they're playing for each other, and he does a great job on the sideline of communicating with them. And you can tell, I mean, he's right now assumed that leadership role, and the guys around him are responding.
Had you any history with him at all? Had you run into him at any point in your coaching life?
No, the last time that I had seen or talked about Matt Barkley when I was in Tennessee as a quarterback coach, and he was coming out. So I was familiar with his college tape. But nothing prior to his college or after his college tape to really go on.
And he had pedigree, though. I mean, this is a highly successful quarterback at USC and the Pac-12.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a stat that showed up that I didn't know on game day when we flashed on the big screen that he's the all-time Pac-12 leading passer. And I turned to him. I was like, really? not to be too sarcastic with him, but that's a huge accomplishment. I mean, there's tremendous quarterbacks have gone through, not just his school at USC, but just the rest of the schools in that conference. And to be able to do that is obviously speaks to his talent. And, you know, the fact that he's had a couple teams that he's been on and now he's here. I mean, he's also been around some other really good quarterbacks and coaches, and he's taken some of that stuff. And I know he's still young, but he's got a lot of that experience when he got here, and it's helped him so far.
Yeah, and every journey at that quarterback position is unique. And granted, I mean, Chip Kelly knew him from Pac-12, but it didn't seem like that made sense from an outside perspective to go to Philadelphia at the time. So, you know, you're not going to get a lot of playing time in that situation, as it turns out. You go to Arizona, you got Carson Palmer in front of you. You get very, very little there. So he really didn't have a body of work. So when he goes out there against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field, I mean, everybody in the building must feel the same way. You don't know.
Yeah, as his position coach, as much as you work with somebody and you're around him all the time, you know, when he's out there for that first time in Green Bay, you know, that's the first time you really see him in live action. There's no preseason with us, regular season with us to really go off of. And like I said before, what he's done a tremendous job of is he's accepted the challenge of being the guy right now. And I think he's gone about his business the right way.
Could you relate a lot with him because of your own career?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's one of those situations, like you alluded to, at the quarterback spot, opportunity situations, those sometimes override overall talent. And to your point, when you get drafted somewhere or you end up somewhere after being released, it's about opportunity. I don't think anybody foresaw Matt Barkley at the start of the 2016 season by week 11 or 12 being the starting quarterback for the Bears. And the point of that story is, and like I told David Fales, the same thing, you just never know.
Be ready.
Be ready at all times. And, you know, we had David earlier, and he was released, and he comes back as a number two. I mean, again, I'm not sure many people saw this coming. And again, it's to that point, you have to be ready at all times, and you never know how this league shakes out.
The Bears Coaches Show with quarterbacks coach Dave Ragone and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
49ers are blitzing. It's picked up nicely by Jordan Howard. Here's the throw to the near side. Caught by Meredith inside the 45-yard line of San Francisco and then carries a defender inside the 40. First down, Bears.
Not a good throw by Matt Barkley. Topic of conversation right now with Dave Ragone, the Bears' first-year quarterback coach. Good to be with you here. We're here until 7:30. We'll hear from Coach Fox coming up in a bit as well, recapping his first segment today. Dave, were you warming up your arm? I mean, my goodness. You know, you're not old.
Yeah, there's been hints.
Quarterback's
dropped.
Older than you right now.
Yeah.
In the league. You're, what are you, 37?
37. There's been hints dropped around the building just in case. But, no, I think that time about 30 pounds ago have passed in terms of being able to do that.
I mean, seriously, in an absolute emergency, could you play?
I could probably throw and duck one or two plays there for you and hand the ball off. I would be great at the run game in terms of the checks, everything else. I probably get the protections right. I'm not sure about the timing and the velocity might have dropped off a little bit.
As a quarterback of note, would you have enjoyed playing in this scheme?
Yeah,
would it fit your skill set?
Yeah, it was a scheme that obviously I've been familiar with now for 5 or 6 years, and the ins and outs and the intricacies of it and how we operate in it, definitely probably more to my skill set than many other ones that I have played in or at least participated in. But yeah, in terms of that, because it's so diverse, it can match different skill sets. There's parts of the game, game plans and parts of the playbook that definitely highlight different guys' strengths. And again, that's why I think it's a very flexible offense in that way.
Take you back to Matt's first start, because as an observer and an analyst of watching it, you could see the growth through the game. Mm-hmm. And when it became an up-tempo situation, that's where he was thriving. Did that surprise you in any way? Because he also said after the game he likes that type of style.
Sure. Yeah, and I think with him, you know, and I think you hit the nail on the head with the growth. I mean, he did some good things in the first two quarters and a half, essentially. And he made two mistakes, obviously, in the red zone with the interceptions. And I think from that point on, what he was able to do was let the game come to him more, not try to force the issue. And you could see it. You could see it when we were down, and he didn't lose his cool. He kept really, really great communication with the guys on the sideline. They went out and then just basically went down the field those times and scored those touchdowns. And, yeah, the tempo situation, like we've said before, I'll be honest with you, it's really the first time he's had a handle a two-minute type situation as well.
Which is crazy.
And and against another opponent, you know, first start, all those other things. So what he's able to do in those situations, and he's a calm guy in the pocket, and he's calm in his communication out there. So it really just kind of settles everybody down in those situations. And it was definitely a situation where you walked away from that game going, all right, it's not too big for him. He's operating in that situation. He was able to lead a team almost back to victory. And, you know, he built off that and played in conditions he did yesterday and did that. And so there's definitely building blocks for him.
From a mental point of view, as his coach, his position coach, how do you attack the first road game in a noisy building? Granted, he did play in Lambeau, but now he's got a week to prepare as the starter. He's got two under his belt. And there is this thinking that you get a book on a player in about 2 to 3 games from a scouting perspective. So how will that play into this, do you think? And how do you try and mute that?
Yeah, and not to be in coach speak here, but when it comes to Matt or any of the quarterbacks this year, it's been about how we operate in terms of at the line of scrimmage, when the ball is snapped, where our eyes go, regardless of who that opponent is. Now, obviously, we're studying what the opponent does, but our execution, our understanding of the concept of play and the timing really falls on us. And if we get caught with all the outside distractions or potential noises out there, then I think, you know, it kind of takes away from what they're able to do, which is go out there and throw the football effectively.
In a kind of a messed up way, has it benefited him that he had several weeks of opportunity running scout team to work with the players he's now working with because of injury?
And there's been a few of those guys, right, that he's obviously you know, he's been able to work with the scout team. That's definitely not that's been a benefit for him, not a distraction of any sort. So the ability for him to go out there and play with those guys, and he's got another week with these guys that are going to be out there and playing with them. And again, you saw the growth from the first week to the second week and the trust factors and all those different things. And again, those are all positives going into another week in which he's going to have another week of preparation with these guys and another week to build their confidence and have their confidence built with him. And it's a good thing to see. And he knows the guys he's playing with and who he's going to go out there with. And that's all positives.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
All right, final moments of the program here as the Bears start preparing for the Detroit Lions. We're with Dave Ragone, the Bears quarterback coach, first year here, and a man who has had plenty of NFL and college experience. Are you loving coaching and at a young age? Because, and not that you haven't paid some dues already, but you can relate to a lot of these players. You're not that far removed from the game. Has it helped you?
It has, for sure. And there's still a couple guys in my draft class who are still playing. So Carson Palmer. So we came out, we lived together, trained together, and he's obviously still playing. And Andre Johnson just retired, Anquan Boldin.
Boy, and he's still. You'll see him this week, and he's still playing. He's still making plays.
Yeah, so there's still a handful of guys. Tony Romo and those guys are still out there. So it was, when I first got into the NFL at the age of 30, it was really like, okay, a lot of these guys are still, I think, playing.
Why'd you stop?
I was asked to stop, essentially.
I was going to let you tell me.
No.
I wasn't going to.
It was, and that's why I think I always told Cutler this. I can always relate more to the backup quarterbacks at times than at the starters, just because of understanding that, hey, you get two reps a day. And if those aren't two great reps, you're thinking about it all night. So it's one of those where I've, not that you don't coach the starter the same way or whatever, but in terms of like understanding the ups and downs of the backup quarterback, definitely understand the emotions of that position.
Was it a challenge for you? And not to say it was difficult, but was it a challenge to say, okay, I'm your quarterback coach and I'm coaching Jay Cutler at his position. You're not exactly like stripping down the fundamentals and starting over, but with some guys you might have to, right? As backups.
Yeah. And that's the one thing, twofold in that question is with obviously all the quarterbacks that have come in, they're all different skill sets and all different experiences. So yeah, you have to adjust to a certain extent, your individual, your fundamental thought process and all that. But with Jay, the one thing is I knew a lot of guys who knew him, who've coached him. I knew of him before. So I already had a kind of understanding of where Jay was from a fundamental standpoint. Obviously my relationship with Dow Loggins is a tremendous help, who coached him a year before. So, it was one of those things where, I kind of knew those angles going in. And then obviously when you get the Brian Hoyers and the Connor Shaws and the Matt Barkley's and the David Fales, those are all different skill sets and they all need different fundamental things. So, it's definitely helped me as a coach kind of grow from that standpoint. But, at the end of the day, it's, you're working where they are and you're trying to improve them.
It had to be somewhat fun to coach a fellow alum from St. Ignatius High School in the Cleveland area, right near Cleveland Browns Stadium, not far away, with Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, that's definitely a unique. It goes back to
per capita, this was it for St. Ignatius.
Yeah, I think, right? I think we had the epicenter was here in Lake Forest. It was definitely, I have known Brian since he was 18 years old, and I'm not sure if I ever thought I would coach him, but to have him in the building and know how he ticked, understood how he played, that was a tremendous help for me in terms of where my background was with him and where our starting point was. And again, he was able to be the starter due to unfortunate injury to Jay. And it was like, to my point, I knew where he was, how he thought. So it was definitely an easier transition than someone I didn't know. But it was fun. I mean, it was a situation where, every time he was out there and he was successful, you go back a long time with somebody, it was definitely a different feeling for him.
Dave, we got to run. Appreciate it. Get ready for the Detroit Lions and really appreciate it. You've done this before, too. Folks, he used to host a radio show.
Not a good one either.
I beg to disagree. Yeah. You're very good on the air. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
In our first segment tonight, John Fox on the fun that you have when you win.
It was perfect weather, the steady snowfall, and our fans are great, and they've been great all year, and the ones that were there, hopefully they enjoyed it.
Kids liked it too.
Yeah, oh, no doubt.
I call them kids because I'm old.
Yeah, I'm old. I'm old too, Jeff.
You're just bit older than
just
me.
Just for the record.
But they enjoy doing it. I mean, anybody, I brought it up too, anybody that loves football, when it started snowing, you want to go out and play.
Yeah, it was good. I think, I thought Matt Barkley had a real good showing, especially right before halftime. I thought, he did a good job orchestrating that drive, and, I thought he was pretty solid all day.
So in a situation like that, because both teams were leery about putting it up in the air, why then other than the obvious, it's a two-minute drill. You want to get on the board. And then it worked. Does that just calm everybody's nerves then about playing in that kind of conditions?
Well, you have to adjust. I think, you know, you throw the ball different. You don't, it's more of a push style than just grip it and rip it. You know, so I think, you know, it takes a little bit to adjust to whether you're catching it. I don't know, somebody talked about it wasn't a fumble, but our first toss was a fumble. Luckily, we recovered it. But even at that point, you just kind of change how you do things and let the players adjust, give them a little bit of time. And, you know, I thought our guys adapted pretty well.
You know, given that the ball wasn't going in the air and you're just trying to get going offensively, I even take some issue with the idea that it was a slow start offensively. Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, they did a good job in the run game, but you only had 14 snaps.
Yeah,
until that two-minute drill.
Well, I think, you know, when you get two special teams bumbles, you know, I think, you know, it gives them more opportunities and you less. That was obviously, there was some adversity early on. We fell behind 6-0. And then, you know, our guys adjusted and our coaches did a good job. Our players did a good job. And then we were able to take a 7-6 into the halftime.
What I also loved was stacking three consecutive possessions and scoring drives. So bridging the half, coming out, you get a 2-for-1 with the coin toss and you guys deferred. So, and then you go again and that 13 first downs in those three drives. So that really set the table for you.
Yeah, I thought, you know, a couple of good things happened. And one, we kind of weathered the adversity and, you know, guys just kept stepping up. And then, you know, when we even had the lead, then we'd start the second half with, you know, with possession of the ball. And, you know, we score our first two possessions. Now it's 21-6. So that was very, very impressive, the guy's mindset in making that happen.
What do you most respect about the win yesterday?
You know, just a bunch of young guys sticking together, and you know, I'm sure our fans don't recognize a lot of the names out there, but you know, these guys have hung together. You know, it's been a long season. It's been a very difficult season. I know it has been for us in the locker room, and I'm sure it's been, you know, for our fans watching. But you know, there's a bunch of guys out there that are competing, and you know, there's some young guys that had some success.
And the other thing is, I heard this as well from, well, you know, the 49ers defense is poorly ranked. You don't rank wins.
No, you don't apologize for W's.
They're hard.
None of them are easy, and you know, we were fortunate, and our guys executed and played well for 60 minutes.
Somebody asked me today what was my favorite moment in the game. So I came up with a couple because I love the way Jordan Howard worked behind his offensive line. I think it was his third touchdown when he just kind of torpedoed it and was burrowing in, and nothing was stopping him. He was going in. That was one. Another, seeing 94 on the field, healthy and ready to rock, and he did. And then Cody Whitehair having a great season, avoiding any serious injury. Those are my three. Would you like to pick any of those three as one of your favorite moments?
Yeah, that was big. I think, you know, really kind of watching, you know, Leonard come back from injury. He didn't play last week against Tennessee. And, you know, things didn't start well for him. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, you're going to get that. You're going to get knocked down, and it's how you respond. And I thought, you know, he had as good a second half as he's had this year.
All right, that's head coach John Fox tonight on the Bears Coaches Show. The best way to get ready for Sunday's game is to tune in to Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Sunday morning 10:30 on Fox 32 in Chicago, and Sunday night, watch Bears Game Night Live at 10:30 p.m. I'll be there along with Tom Thayer and host Lou Kanellis. Thanks to John Fox, Dave Ragone, Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Rob Hart. Our kickoff at noon on Sunday from Ford Field, pregame at 9. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.